Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and I'm sitting in the middle of a thunderstorm that has been going on, and all kinds of adventures have resulted, but the show goes on no matter where this traveling microphone is going to. We have a fabulous guest today. We're going to be talking about the wacky world of laws. Yes. And I'm sure most of you have heard about different laws of one kind or another. Some of them called blue laws, and there's all kinds of descriptions. My guest today is Jeff Isaac. And Jeff, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Donna. Happy to be there.
Well, I have to chuckle because you are known as the lawyer in blue jeans. And as the CEO and principal attorney at the Lawyer in Blue Jeans Group, you really have an interesting positioning as an attorney. You like to shield consumers throughout Southern California against other lawyers. And
well,
there's just so many things.
Yeah, basically, Don, it's not just shielding them. It's just talking English. It's talking in language people can understand, where they feel comfortable and not this esoteric legalese. And so the blue jeans thing is not just the costume, but it's the philosophy of what I've been doing here in Southern California and nationally as well on radio and TV.
That's right, because you appear weekly on KUSI, Channel 9 in San Diego, and you also are the host of 760 KSMB AM's The Lawyer in Blue Jeans, which is a weekly talk show radio program. And Jeff, first, tell us a little bit about yourself and why did you decide you wanted to be an attorney? I mean, God knows we've got lots of attorneys. Why did you decide you wanted to be in that environment too?
Well, it's interesting. It goes way back. I was in the Army some time ago and I worked for the Judge Advocate General's office when I was in the Army. I'm going on 34 years as a lawyer now, but when I went to my last year of school in San Diego State, I was going to be a first grade elementary school teacher. And then they said, you have to take all these new math classes. And I said, new math? I don't like old math. I can't even, you know, one and one is two. You know, I know that. But they said, no, you got to take these classes. And I said, wait a minute, law school, there's no math other than 33%. I think I'm going there. So ever since I did traditional law for the beginning, I did divorce law. I divorced over 2,000 couples. I used to wear the suits and ties and go to court. And then I got smart about 12 years into my career. I got out of law. I went to I bought a restaurant and came out of that and got back in law, started doing radio and TV. And ever since, it's been blue jeans all the way.
Well, I'll tell you, I thoroughly enjoyed your book. We're going to be sharing some of the laws that are wild and wacky, and you did it for just about every state. But you say that it's not just U.S. laws, it's international laws that are really weird, and that annually in the United States, we churn out. This was a number that I thought, my goodness, no wonder everybody goes ballistic when they get into a court of law. 500,000 new laws every year, and 2 million regulations annually. I mean,
yeah,
this is something that is mind-boggling.
Well, you could say we're a little bit over-lawyered. I got a few other numbers that might blow your mind as well. 11 lawsuits filed every minute just in the state of California. We have something like 5% of the world's population in the United States, and we have 70% of the world's litigation, or world's attorneys, and 80% of the world's litigation. We're twice as likely to end up in court this year than we are in the hospital. So, lawyers tend to rule right now. And, you know, my mission is to try to make it a little bit more bearable.
Wow. It's interesting that you say that because I was just in a meeting this afternoon with someone in Charlottesville, Virginia, and they said in Charlottesville, the amount of attorneys far outnumbers any other professional capacity, including those that are employed in the area of medicine in that area, they said, it's just like we've got them wall to wall. We've got too many of them. But let's talk about some of these wacky laws. And you bring out in your book that there are some wacky laws that are merely urban myths. Tell us a little bit about those urban myths, how they get started, and how can someone go about just, you know, finding out the truth rather than just dealing with the myth?
Well, most of them, whether they're the blue laws, the wacky laws, and the urban myths, virtually all of them are unenforced or unenforceable. So it's not so important, I don't think, for people to chase down the, you know, the where they came from so much, unless they got zero, you know, nothing else to do. The urban myths are simply hand-me-downs where something got started as a joke or a rumor. It got blown into a full force. It's like the telephone game. You just tell somebody next to you something, and it keeps going until it's out of control. That's pretty much what happens with urban myths. It's basically what appears to be totally wacky and never was codified as a law, but in fact is kind of thought from that small town or wherever to be a law. It's really irrelevant as to the book, because the book is really more for the chuckle and say, gee, lawyers aren't always that bad, and law doesn't have to be so negative as it, you know, normally is. And that's what the book is really there for, to show, which the majority, by the way, are real laws that just got out of control. But there are some urban myths mixed in there as well. So it's hard to tell where they came from, but we can take guesses sometimes, and that's half the fun of it, trying to figure out where these things all originated from.
Well, I'm going to start with Alabama, and I wondered, I know your lady in your office there, when I had a chance, when we were setting up for this interview, she said she had a chance to do some research with you on these laws, and she said they are really a hoot. That some of them is a law, eating pebbles from composition roofs is prohibited for pigeons. I mean, who, dude, this is just... And you cannot take a bath in any of Mobile, Alabama city fountains. I mean, this is, you'd say, okay, all right. Why did people think they had to make a law? Did they have 10,000 vagrants come through the town?
Well, that's the fun part. You know, it's trying to say, gee, was it a politician who was bored? Was it somebody who just had a beef? In Alabama, you know, one of my second law just in the book, it's illegal to modify the appearance of a mule or a horse's teeth in order to make them appear younger. I mean, why would that be a law, let alone a philosophy? But, it's the fun part. It's the fun part of, what kind of, you know, with Father's Day coming up and everything else, we just thought this will be fun. Just, hang out and, read it by the pool or in your thunderstorm over there. It's a good fun thing.
I think so. Now, let's move on to Alaska, which is one of my favorite places on the planet. They don't have too many wild and wacky laws, but the one for Fairbanks, I would think that the attorney or the judge that put this through, whatever enabled this to happen, had to have been schnockered when they did. And excuse me, that's just my interpretation. Here, a moose-related law, it's illegal to give a moose any alcoholic beverages. Who would try?
Well, probably not Sarah. We'd hope Sarah Palin wouldn't do it, but I don't know who would try, and I suspect there'd be plenty of people who would say, let's, you know, I mean, I remember as a kid growing up, friends of mine would say, gee, I wonder if we should give, you know, the dog a little beer, you know, and see what happens. Well, who knows who would try, but you know, I didn't do it, but... No, and
oh,
as you
goodness.
Say, there's different, we have all 50 states, we have 12 different countries, and for each state we have the official state things, which is kind of fun, because we got the official state bird, and the fish in Alabama is king, you know, the salmon, and so, you know, there's always, there's fun stuff, the rock and the gems and the insects and the state song. It's also kind of fun, just good information as well.
Oh, it is. And then the one for Juneau, Alaska, again, I just have to laugh. They must have really had a good time thinking this one up. If you own a flamingo or an aardvark, you cannot take them into a restaurant or a barber shop. I mean,
no, that's jail time. You're going to jail. You're going to jail if you do that.
Who is even going to survive that?
Yeah, you could probably take them to a store, you know, to a market. But in fact, that's an interesting one, because in some of these, as you know, with reading the book, we have the law, and then we have the actual law, which actually specifies, you know, the code itself. And so if you own a flamingo or aardvark, you can't take them to a restaurant or barbershop. The actual law, which is 36.25.010, says the responsibility of the owner: no owner of any animal or person having control of any animal shall allow such animal to enter upon any public premises, blah, blah, blah. So it includes barbershops, establishments for hairdressing and beauty culture. So it's pretty interesting, and again, you scratch your head and say, why?
Yes. I mean, just knowing what I know about Alaska, the fact that a flamingo might even survive getting there would be a miracle. Let's go to U.S. State, California, and you have right off the bat, you've got to talk about this case. You said it's a wacky case, and it was about a man who was convicted of killing 16 people. You've got to share this story, because this is just awesome.
Yeah, well, there was the, this guy wrote a book about a man who was convicted of killing 16, and the Orange County man was on death row in California prison, claiming that the characterization of him as a serial killer is false, misleading, and defamed his good name. So the prisoner sued, this guy's on death row, ready to die, but the prisoner sued the author for $60 million. Now, the convicted guy claims he was innocent of the 16 murders for which he had been found guilty, so he's nearly legally not innocent. And his lawsuit stated that the book would make him shunned by society and unable to find decent employment. Well, the guy's on death row. He ain't getting out anytime soon. And it took the judge at the end here. We just talked about that. The judge took about less than 1 minute to dismiss the case and said, you're out of here. It ain't going to work. That's the wacky case of the week. I do that on TV here, too. Every Saturday on Channel 9 in San Diego, we do the wacky case of the week, which is always fun. I look forward to that event every Saturday.
Now, something that came up in conversation just this past weekend is that in California, and I'm assuming this is California only, that it is legal to drive barefoot. Is that true?
Yeah, it is. I don't know of the other states. I'm licensed only in California, and I didn't really research other states, but that's kind of the anti urban myth, urban legend, because most people walk around saying that it is against the law, or maybe it's the same thing as an urban myth when you really think about it, because people think it's against the law to drive barefoot. It is not against the law to drive barefoot, period, in California.
Now, Clint Eastwood, as a mayor, made a law disappear. What was that special law regarding ice cream? I couldn't believe that this was on the books.
Let's see. Let me try to remember that one. Is that the ice cream cone in the back pocket law? Or
no,
is that another one you're
referring
to?
This one where it was illegal to eat ice cream while standing on a public sidewalk.
Oh, that's right. Well, see, there's yeah, several ice cream laws in the book, and that's... I don't know. I guess Clint Eastwood didn't want to mess up the streets with you know, with chocolate chip ice cream, but that goes with another law, and I think there's several jurisdictions that have it. I'm, you know, so many of these, as you know, Donna. There's a, you know, several thousand, which also makes, I think it's West Virginia or something like that, that makes it illegal to have an ice cream cone in your back pocket. So I wasn't sure which one you were referring to at that time, but if you look. We have about, I'm just looking here in my index, we've got something like about 9 different ice cream laws that are wacky, that have to do, again, with the ice cream or ice cream cone.
And then what I thought was really a lot of fun is that in Chico, California, bowling on the sidewalk is against the law, and it's illegal to own a green or smelly animal hide. You know, what would it take to get these ridiculous things off the books? Why is
too much money?
Okay,
that's why. You know, what happens is they get on the books for the strangest reasons, some of which we'll never know, and then it's almost more expensive to get them off, and so they just sit there and people ignore them, and you know, nobody really enforces them. But it's just, if to go clean the book, so to speak, can just get more expensive than it is just to leave it there and laugh at it.
Well, I'll tell you one. This one for Chico just blew me away. It says detonating a nuclear device within the city limits could get you a $500 fine. If it's detonated, who's there, for heaven's sake?
Yeah, and I think it should be more than $500 when you really look at the options. But that one, you'd think it might be a little more, you know, severe than $500 fine, misdemeanor in that part of the state. But no, again, I think that law probably came out from a fireworks law that said detonating any kind of device would get you a minimum of $500, and then you take that and you expand it, because detonating a nuclear bomb would be similar. Detonating any device, that's a device, a nuclear bomb. So then they just replace the $500, and there they go. They're off and running.
Oh, my heavens. And then I have to share this one. Half Moon Bay, that you said, we do not know who makes the definitions, but wearing a sweatshirt inside out is defined as a threatening misdemeanor. Oh, my word. In today's world, do you know how many people would really have a problem with that? I mean, this is... it's just amazing. Do you think there'd ever be a possibility where there could be a collective drive about eliminating a whole slew of these things all at one time so they could be eradicated?
Probably not. I think the interest is low and is more for entertainment than it would be for getting serious, because obviously with the state of our country right now, we've got a few more serious things to deal with than getting the ice cream cone law for the detonating, or, you know, any of these things that we're talking about. But it's crazy. I mean, you know, some of which are my favorite as well, is in Logan County in Colorado, in California, it's illegal for a man to kiss at all. And it's driving a black car on Sunday that's not a hearse is illegal in Denver, Colorado. Pretty interesting stuff. Who's going to enforce, you know, you really take it to the next level and you say, gee, you got the black car police out there, or the ice cream cone police. They're going to be looking for, you know, suspicious ice cream cones in your back pocket or whatever.
Yes, and it's been shifting over to a state like Connecticut. You've got, according to state law, a pickle is not officially a pickle unless it bounces when dropped.
Yeah,
that
you got to deal with the bounce test on that one. And the other thing in Hartford, Connecticut, it's funny because I just did a radio interview this morning in Connecticut, live on Connecticut radio, and one of the laws they have in Hartford is kissing your wife on a Sunday can be illegal. Again, I wonder who's going to check you out on that, but that's Connecticut.
Well, I think if they ever wanted to raise a lot of money and enforce the fine, that would really be one way maybe to encourage people to get some of these silly things off of the books. I mean, it's unreal what you've got. Now, this wacky case in Florida, this is something you need to share. It was about Arlen Valdez Castillo, and it was in February of 2004.
Help me out on that one, because there's so many of them.
Page 46.
Page 46. Let me take a peek here. There we go. I'm right next to it. Oh, yeah.
He was a maid at the Hampton Inn.
Yeah, in the Miami airport, and he filed a lawsuit claiming that she got sick after cleaning up a room where five wild animals were kept. And Busch Gardens was doing some publicity for the theme park. They kept five wild animals in this hotel room. The maid sued. Her name is Arlen Valdez Castillo. And as part of their campaign, they had the spider monkey, they had an alligator, they had a macaw, they had a... they had Zuri and Rufio, which were lemurs, were kept in the room. And she said that she made contact with hair, feathers, urine, and other, you know, crazy stuff that went on while cleaning their rooms, and that the exposure left her with physical and emotional problems, including lesions in her skin, headaches, and depression. So she took this to heart. Later in her testimony, she said two men kidnapped her then and took her to a cemetery, threatened her that she must drop the lawsuit. This lady was just out there. And the Florida court, opposing sides were, everybody was yelling at each other in court, and they couldn't agree on anything. The judge tried to find ways to kind of get both sides to settle, and after finding no acceptable solution, the judge came up with a manner which to proceed. And what they did was they picked a location for a deposition. The judge ordered representatives from both parties to play a game of rock, scissors, and paper. This is true. And the winner got to pick the location.
That is unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Oh, there's a legal system. You know, and again, it's an exception, and it's funny. And what I don't do is, I want to make it clear, I don't degrade the lawyers or degrade judges, because most of them are great, certainly most judges and many lawyers. But it's just funny when you see some of these things that, have occurred. And the law profession is out there, so it's easy to pick on them. And as a lawyer, I think I can, I have some kind of license that I can do that a little bit and have some fun at the same time.
Well, I think you can. But I'm sure a lot of my listeners are listening to this and saying, boy, could I tell you about a case or two. You've got all of these wild and wacky laws, and so many times things like this are pulled up and out into cases, sometimes to delay action. What is something a person can do if they want to make sure that they're not going to have a wacky law upset their apple cart?
Well, yeah, if you have a good lawyer, to be honest with you, most lawyers, 99% of lawyers wouldn't take some of these wacky cases, for sure. There's no money in it, and unless they're publicity hounds, there's no real payoff. There is also ethics. Believe it or not, lawyers at least have an ethical code, and they're somewhat well enforced by the bar. And you're not allowed to take cases that are way out, that are just a waste of time on the court. If the court finds that, the lawyer can be disbarred, and the client can be fined significantly. So, you know, all of this again is in light, and it's crazy, and we see them every day. The wacky cases continue. You can find them on the web and internet, but they're far and few between. I mean, just think about it. All the litigation going on, you know, we have to search for maybe two wacky cases a week, where there's thousands and hundreds of thousands of cases that are filed every week. So when you put it in perspective, it's really not that bad. But you don't take cases, nor do you pursue cases as a plaintiff, unless you really have your act together and know that you've got solid basis to do it. I always tell people, you know, the lawsuit should be the last alternative, not the first.
Now, I think, ladies, we need to really check out the state of Iowa, because in Iowa, kisses can last up to 5 minutes long. Now, who had the brain power to fix that one? I mean, that is amazing. That is legal to do that. They actually had to make a law. This must have been a law that somebody put into place in the 1800s, for heaven's sakes, when kissing probably was considered an obscene act.
Probably, yeah, and quite frankly, you know, wearing, you know, half skirts and all of that were obscene as well. So life changes, and you may be right. That could be the case, but then you have to say, well, how do we do this? So if you go 4 minutes and 59 seconds, you're good, and 5 minutes and 1 second, you're in jail.
And then in Marshalltown, Iowa, and this has to be old, they said they might look tasty, but horses should not eat fire hydrants. Wonder what the hydrants were made of at that time.
Oh man, I don't know. Yeah, it's well, I you know, I wasn't around then, so I don't know. But again, it's a great historical perspective of blending the passion or the lack thereof, or maybe you can call it boredom, of our politicians. At times when they got nothing else to do, or they've got a you know, some pet peeve, and they make that a law, not just a ordinance or a policy, or just, you know, this is what you should do, but maybe make it a law for everybody to do.
Now let's move on to horse country, which is Kentucky, and I love this one. A woman cannot appear on a highway in a bathing suit. Again, it makes you wonder when this law was made, and what in the world would a woman be on a highway in a bathing suit anyway? Why would they care?
Well, I'm sure what happened on that woman, Donna, was that somebody was out there in a bathing suit. It was part of the obscene laws or obscenity laws that we still have, but not to that degree, I don't think. But certainly you can't be on the highway in your underwear. That would be obscene. So a bathing suit, you know, some years back might have been just as obscene. So they have one existence of an infraction, or something that's not right, or at least maybe not moral in their eyes, and they say, let's just make it a law. So from now on, nobody can be anywhere but by the pool in a bathing suit.
Well, what you said is that the actual law that's written on the books is that no female shall appear in a bathing suit on any highway unless she is escorted by at least two officers of the law, or unless she's armed with a club. An amendment to the law says that the provisions of this statute shall not apply to females weighing less than 90 pounds, nor to females exceeding 200 pounds, nor shall it apply to female horses.
Figure that one out. That's all I can say. It's beyond comprehension.
That just makes you say, ah, yes. Now, of course, they've got a law where if anybody throws something at a speaker, they're going to be fined in a hefty way. Well, I can remember seeing old movies where people used to throw tomatoes and other things at people when they would speak if they didn't like them. So, you know, that sort of made sense to me. But let's look at New Orleans. You talked about New Orleans, and the law, you said it's do not do that voodoo that you do. Tell us about that law.
Well, voodoo, I mean, come on. I mean, that's a very spiritual, mystique kind of interpretation of certain either religions or whatever. And so, you know, New Orleans comes from France, and I would assume, and I don't know, but I just assume that would make people very, you know, kind of weirded out. So I think that they just said, let's make a law so we don't have seances and have problems where we're going to all, you know, disappear with Casper the Friendly Ghost or something like that.
Well, it's amazing because the law that is actually on the books, I'm not going to read it all, but it is so explicit, and it goes on and on and on and on. It's just amazing. Now, how long did it take you to do all the research on these wacky world of laws? It must have taken you a good deal of time.
Well, I've been playing with this and doing it for many, many years on radio and TV. So, quite frankly, it's a project that started probably 12 years ago and then culminated just, last month when we published the book. So, we got pretty serious about it about a year ago and really got into it. But, I've been doing these, and it's a collection of those that I've done over the years, and will continue to do so. The next book I anticipate coming out, which will be this year sometime, will be The Wacky World of Lawsuits, similar to what we have in here, Wacky Cases, but we'll have mostly wacky cases in there, which I think will just be just as hilarious.
Now, what was your favorite international case, wacky case, that you had given some time to? What was your favorite? Because you're covering all the states in the union in this wacky book, The Wacky World of Laws. And when it came to the international, what was it that was the wackiest?
Oh, there's so many. But, I would say maybe because we get most of our laws from England. There's one in England that if you have the plague, taxi drivers don't have to serve you, so they can drive away from you. That's pretty out there. I mean, there's a ton of them. If you look through, we've got about 12 different countries, and it's pretty. They're pretty crazy as well. But that one stands out as one. They're nuts. I mean, they're just all over the place. France, no porcupine animal can be named Napoleon. To protect Napoleon, and you know, it's nuts. So to say what's my favorite, either internationally or United States, is pretty hard, as you can tell, because there's so many of these things that they just one seems to one up the other every time you read the next one.
Now we're out of time right now, Jeff. It has been a joy having you on the air, and I recommend this book. It's fun to share. Kids in school would love this. It would give you something to talk about at a dinner party when everybody is totally boring, and they may want to challenge you on it. Who knows, but you could have fun with this. What's your website, Jeff?
Well, we can do it a couple ways. We're at lawyerinbluejeans.com, and there's a discount for Father's Day, 15% off, or you can go to amazon.com or Barnes & Noble, and they're available right there and then.
Lawyerinbluejeans.com. Jeff Isaac has been my guest. The book is The Wacky World of Laws. Wonderfully fun to go through. You'll laugh. Sometimes you'll cry. You'll just wonder what insanity produced some of this stuff and why it's still on the books. Well, read it, find out more. You'll have a great time with it. Jeff, it's been a delight having you as a guest. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
It's been a pleasure. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo in Zuni, Virginia, where I'm watching fire trucks blinking their bright red lights and trying to deal with a situation after a major lightning strike here that just blew out all kinds of stuff with a restaurant. I was just telling one of the people at the station while we were off air that they're very fortunate it didn't hit a major propane line that leads into the restaurant, because everything would have gone up in smoke. But that's the way it is in the world where Mother Nature does her special stuff. Meanwhile, we can still talk, and if you'd like to call in and chat with me, give me a buzz on our toll-free number of 888-815-9756. That's a worldwide number. All I need from you, should you want to call in and chat with me, is your first name or your initial. Let me tell you what I perceive, and of course I love to know where you're calling in from, and then after that, you're welcome to ask a question about anything that you like. And so again, the telephone number to call into toll-free is 888-815-9756. Some of the things I want to share with you today, some information about credit cards. Also, I ran out of time yesterday, but so many people are concerned today about saving money. This is very, very important. And so what they want to do is figure out the best way to do it. Well, I have a few tips for you, and we all know about the dollar stores. I love to shop there. I mean, there's so many unique things that you can get. And if you really want to look at snagging some good deals, I have sent some information that you can save hundreds of dollars a year by even going to the dollar store for groceries. They stock fresh produce, baked goods, milk, eggs, and other staples, all for a dollar. Now, many of these stores, it all depends on where you are in the country and what they carry. I know the dollar stores in my neighborhood don't carry fresh foods. They carry packaged foods. But they buy such large quantities that they are able to pass the savings on to the customer. Your kitchen and hardware tools. Now again, remember, you're not going to be getting at these places the top of the line. But if you're doing certain things and you're just wanting to make it economical, if you're like me, maybe there's a special activity or event, and then after you use something, you may not want it anymore, but you could donate it to your favorite thrift store or charity. Now, something you need to watch out for when you do go to dollar stores, they have batteries, but they're usually made of carbon zinc, not alkaline. So they're not going to save you money if you buy the batteries there. And I can testify to that because I've tried some of their batteries. Also, the vitamins that are typically sold at dollar stores have fewer nutrients or aren't absorbed as well as name brands. So understand you're going to have to do your shopping carefully. Now, if you get to know the manager at the store, or if you're able to shop online, which I know all of you are so savvy at doing that, you may find out, especially if you get to know your manager, if they know you're a good customer, they may keep you appraised of certain things that might be coming into the store, because lots of times they get a certain lot of items and then they sell out. They're so popular. So if you get to know your manager, that personal interaction one-on-one can make a big difference. Thrift stores, these have been a favorite of mine for years. Get to know the neighborhood that your thrift store is in. If you are in a place like Santa Barbara, California, you can go to thrift stores there and find the most awesome items. I mean, I've found antique furniture, all kinds of things. And I was talking with a woman just yesterday who, being in Charlottesville, Virginia, she said, I go to stores around here, thrift stores, and she said, I just go through them. And it's amazing sometimes what you're able to find. So you will save 80 to 90% on clothes, shoes, handbags, books, and furniture. And you sometimes will find that churches have their own independent thrift stores, and you can check that out. Lots of times college students, if they know about good places and they get to know the people that work there, they can make a real good arrangement, sometimes trading books or even being able to get clothes at a very reasonable price. And it can really do them a favor on so many levels about saving money. But these are things you need to watch out for if you're going there. You need to be careful about baby toys, carriages, cribs, children's items overall. Any of these items might have been recalled. So if items have been recalled, sometimes people will just say, well, we don't want them, and they'll donate them. So you need to be alert to that. And stores usually will check these items, but sometimes they can just, you know, because they have a lot of people on staff that are volunteers, it may not get checked properly. So you might want to go to this website to be sure that you're aware of any recall items. It's www.recalls.gov. That's recalls, R-E-C-A-L-L-S, .gov. And check their list before you go out shopping at a thrift store. And sometimes they're even willing to give you a lower price. So don't be surprised if you have an opportunity to do a little bit of haggling at a thrift store. It's sort of like going to some of these garage sales. Warehouse clubs, well, there are so many opportunities there. Now, they're famous for their bulk household goods, but you know what has been found with research is that if you shop around and you do price comparison, sometimes your local grocery store actually offers you a better price break when they have their sales and what you would get for your bulk purchases at a warehouse. So just be aware of that. Also, if you want to buy something bulky, I know some of the major warehouses will not deliver. There are some that will, but you have to buy online. So remember, whenever you're doing anything like this, you want to factor in the potential cost of shipping fees if you're doing something online. But some of the big warehouses do not charge you a shipping fee. So just be aware, you have to find that out. And then also, there's stores like T-Max, Marshalls, and some other off-price stores that can offer some phenomenal sales. But do you know what? You may need to double-check on some of these sales prices that they're offering, because sometimes you'll go in, like some friends of mine have said, that just didn't get a deal. Let's take our first caller for the day. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Hi, Donna. It's Pat from Connecticut, your fan.
Well, hi, Pat from Connecticut. Now, where are you in Connecticut? I don't remember.
I'm in New Haven. New Haven.
In New Haven. Well, I'm sure New Haven doesn't have thunderstorms going on right now.
Not right now, but we had them from 3 o'clock a.m. on till about mid-morning, and we're supposed to get more.
Aha, uh-huh. So you've gotten hit with them, too. They're quite an experience.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They really are. Well, Pat, did you have a question for me today?
Yes, I do. I'm wondering if you can give me feedback on whether I should give up this community dance that I started over a year ago. I'm just feel like I'm not getting support or appreciated. I'm putting a lot of money in it and think maybe I should take a break or try to do it for different people, move it,
okay.
Not for a while.
Now, you said it is a community dance, D-A-N-C-E?
Yes. D-A-N-C-E.
All right, let me, how long have you been doing this now?
Over a year.
Over a year. What's your turnout at this time?
About 10, 15 people at the most, and not all are willing to pay. It's very frustrating.
All right, let me make a suggestion to you, because I think you have a very good concept, but I think you're reaching the wrong market.
Yeah.
How many community? You've got New Haven's a good-sized community. Are there any smaller community groups around New Haven that, let's say, are dealing with singles groups?
Not really. I was wondering if I should go into retirement homes or work with veterans or women in crisis or shelters. I'm wondering if I should direct it more specifically as a therapeutic thing.
That's okay, but I think if you could link up, the reason I was asking the question is because what I was getting were singles, people, male and female, that want to have a certain kind of a social environment. I would like to see you brainstorm with some people that are the head of these groups. And I know you're not going to have 50 or 60 of them in your community, but it just was coming into my mind so strongly, single groups. And I think you could include people of all ages. You don't have to have just a certain age bracket unless that's what you would like to do. But I'd like for you to link up with some people because I think you're going to need that teamwork to pull it off.
Right.
And I think it should be fun.
I do have it for all ages.
Think you need to get some other groups that have, let's say, their own leaders and sit down and have a conference with them and say, I have this concept. I've been working with this for a year.
Okay.
This is what I would like to do because I really think the fellowship of people is important.
Right.
Would you like to assist me in doing a survey of the community? Would you have any suggestions for me? How could we work together as a team?
Okay.
Because I think by you're trying to sit and figure it out and be intellectual with it and all this kind of stuff, you're going to just go bonkers.
Yeah, I think I have.
And what you might want to do is also, see, I think what you need to do is to set up a survey. Now, we have to take a break here. Would you stay on the line with me and then I'll give you the rest of my thoughts?
Sure, thank you.
Okay, this is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're talking with Pat in Connecticut, but you know what? You can call in and chat with me, too. Here's the number, 888-815-9756, and it is going to be there for you no matter where you are in the country, in the world. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Before we go back to Pat, I do want to remind those of you listening, I'm going to be on the air with Monique Chapman from 5 to 6 p.m. this evening. And this is going to be a live talk show. Monique is a wonderful person. She has a program called Walking with Spirit. It's going to be on AchieveRadio.com. And you can either listen to the show through her website, walkingwithspirit.com, or you can go to achieveradio.com and you'll be able to hear it live, and we will be taking calls. So we'll be on air in just a couple of hours, again, live, and chatting with any of you that will want to call in or to listen. If you don't want to do it at this time, you'll be able to do it later on. So go to Monique Chapman's show, achieveradio.com, and you'll be able to hear it all. Let's go back to Pat in New Haven, Connecticut. Hello, Pat, and thank you for waiting.
Thank you, Donna.
Let me just give you some thoughts that were coming into my head. One was singles groups, and you'd mentioned something about senior citizens, and I like the fact that you'd already been working with the dances with, you know, all kinds of age groups. And I think it's very important that you have, when you do this, maybe a band that, one, is really good, but that can play different varieties of music, whether it's slow, fast. And you need to find out, though, before you go any further with this, before you do anything else, if you've got another dance schedule, you need to look at, again, doing some brainstorming with some people and ask yourself, do you want to do this once a month? Do you want to do it twice a month? Do you want to do it in different locales? You need to have a survey that you can put out to your community and even to different organizations. And that's why I said talk to the people that are the leaders of the singles groups, people that are in charge of retirement homes, etc., and say, I need a survey completed, and put your survey together so that you're asking if you had a dance that was done from, let's say, 6 to 10 or, you know, have a variance of hours, and what would be your favorite music, what would you like to do, how would you like to do it, so on and so forth. If you do that, then what's going to happen is that you're going to get some feedback that you can work with. And if you talk to different people from different organizations, they may tell you that they're not interested in that, or their people wouldn't be interested, and then so you just write them off the list. But if you can do a survey that gives you information, that's going to save you a lot of heck.
Okay.
And I would give the survey to the people that are already interested and say, pass it out to your friends. What is it that you would like?
Okay.
And if
well,
you can do that, that'll give you some ammunition to work with. And if you want to take a break during the summer because people are going to be involved in all other activities, great.
Right.
Maybe it's better to do it during certain times of the year. But look at your locations, but ask people. Say, what would you like?
Okay. All right, Donna. Thank you so much. That's a help.
Does that help you?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Oh, I'm so glad. This is Donna Siebel. And Pat, have a wonderful evening in Connecticut, and take care with those thunderstorms, because I've got witness in front of me what lightning can do.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Siebel, and I'm broadcasting live from Zuni, Virginia. If you haven't heard of it, well, trust me, it's a farming community I hadn't heard of either. But it does exist, and they've got a lot going on. Let's talk about credit cards. I know we only have a few minutes, and I won't be able to go into a whole bunch of details. Now, so many people that I have talked with, friends and family, that are appalled at what's been happening with their credit cards. Their credit cards have been closed down by companies, even though they have had an excellent record, or they have found their interest rate has more than doubled, or what else has happened is they found that their limits, instead of being, let's say, $20,000, all of a sudden they're cut back to $9,000. Is this something that you can do very much about? Is this something the credit card companies should be able to get away with? Well, regrettably, they can get away with it. But there is some regulation that they're trying to enforce, and by 2010, there is going to be something in place. Well, here we are in 2009, and maybe there's stuff that's going to be going on in your life and in your environment, and you're saying, Donna, I really would like to be able to make a shift, make a change. Well, one of the things you can do is do some shopping around. You need to go and look for some different credit cards and find out what you can do to make sure that you're not going to be in a situation that is really going to compromise you. Now, I have some wonderful information that I can share with you. I know we're just about out of time, so I'm going to be saving this, I think, for tomorrow's show. Tomorrow's show is going to be an open mic, so you'll be able to call in to me and chat with me anytime during the hour tomorrow. And hopefully we won't have lightning strikes that create situations we hadn't planned on. But hey, broadcasting live is always an adventure, and I love doing it. Thank you so much for being with me. But also, don't forget, tomorrow is an open mic hour. And then on Thursday, my guest, it's plural, Linda and Alan Anderson, we're going to be talking about animals. Oh, this book is awesome. You're just going to love it. The stories will touch your heart. And then on Friday, we're going to be calling into England. We're going to be talking about easy reflexology. Pauline Will is going to be my guest. This and so much more we're going to be talking about. Tomorrow is an open mic. Lots of good things that I'm going to share with you, so I hope you can join me. Tell your friends. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Adventure? Hey, it's just around the corner. I can testify to that. This is Donna Siebel. Talk with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.